Today, we're going to be doing Lost and Found Department. And if you want to see God, you have to go to the top floor to get to that department. And as I'm thinking about people that are lost and found, I speak to you with an experience. There have been a time in my life when I was lost and God found me again. I found him. We drew closer. And someone reminded me time and time again, it's not how you start off in life, it's how you finish that's important. Today we're going to look at Luke 15th chapter. There are three things that are lost in that chapter. One was a sheep. It had 100 and one of them strayed off, got lost. The other one was a coin. A lady lost a coin and she wanted to find that. And the third one had to do with a person. So we're going to look at those three. But first, have you ever lost anything? I'm sure you have. And then you found it, and weren't you relieved after you found it? How many of you lost a wallet or a pocketbook at some time in your life and you found it? Thank you. My wife raised her hand. I remember that time. How about an iPhone? Anybody ever lose an iPhone and find it? I have my wife dial my number so I can find it. And it's and it's scary when you can't hear it, you know, ringing somewhere. So you're searching all over. Naturally, it's in the car. And had to go to the garage to find it. How about glasses? You ever lose your glasses? My wife lost hers one time. And she asked me, where's my glasses? And I had a reminder. It was on the top of your head. And you found them. I remember one time I lost my glasses when I was in the woods. And going to my hunting camp from the well is about a 100-yard walk. As I was walking up there, I tripped on some rubble, brush. And when I went down with a loud clamp. And I didn't realize it until I got up to my hunting camp that my glasses, I lost them when I fell. And I had walked through the woods, and it's like it is now. There's all sorts of leaves and everything. I went down there with my friend, and we looked and looked and looked for those glasses. Now, as a hunter, I needed my glasses to get an eye on my scope. And so I knew that my weekend was pretty well shot if I couldn't find my glasses. We looked until now it was starting to get dusky dark. And all of a sudden I remembered, why didn't I pray to God about it? I was just looking on my own. And I thought, okay, God, give me a word of knowledge. Where's my glasses? And this is the truth. Within 2 seconds, my eyes, after we rustled all those leaves all over the place, couldn't find anywhere where I had lost them. My eye fell right on my glasses. At first, I couldn't believe it, but then I thank God we found something that was lost. Thank you, Lord. In Luke 15, all three stories had the same theme. Somebody lost something, but then it was found, and when it was found, there was joy in them. And the Bible says, also in heaven, all the angels in heaven rejoiced when something was found here on earth. So we're going to look at the three of them. But first, there is one other point in each of these stories. The point is, and the bottom line is, repentance. And we'll get to that. How does somebody, when they lose something, and then they find it, and there's such joy, that there has to be a feeling of giving your life back to God in your sinful ways? Well, let's look at the first one. It's about someone who had 100 sheep, but he left his 99 to go after just one sheep that left. And today, that doesn't make much sense, but This is the way God wanted us to have it. And so in Luke 15, 5 through 7, it's when he lost his one, he went out and he finds it. He joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors, and together he says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. I tell you, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." The second one is of a woman who's frantically looking for her lost coin, takes her broom all over, and finally, when she finds it in Luke 15, 9 and 10, and when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And the third story, referred to as the prodigal son. This is about a father who has a son who took his money from his father's inheritance, and he spent it foolishly on sinful pleasures. Then the son spent all his money, and he was desperate, and he comes to his senses. Luke 15, 20 through 24 says, "He got up and went to his father, but while he was a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is now found.' So they began to celebrate." Now there are probably four ways of being personally lost. The first one says you know you're lost and you need to be found. And that's a pretty desperate person. They're having a tough time in their life. They're maybe financially, maybe in school with their schoolwork, maybe something about the parents at home. Maybe it's about a loved one who has a disease that's in the hospital. But you feel lost, and you don't know what to do, and you need help. The second one, you're lost, but you don't even know it. Now, any psychologist will tell you, you can work with a person who comes to them and says, "I need your help because I feel lost in this area." But it's the one who comes to them and they're lost, and it's so obvious to everyone else except to them. They don't even know they have a problem. That's a hard one to deal with. And the third one is, you're lost, but you don't care. Spiritually speaking, I've heard some students when I was at the college, when I talk to them about heaven and hell, and say that, if you don't repent of your sins and ask Christ to come into your heart, the Bible says you're going to be lost forever in hell. And they would kind of just laugh and say, "Well, if that's the case, I'm going to have a lot of my buddies there, and I'd rather be with them." And that's the way it is. And that's sad. They don't care. The fourth one is, you were once lost, but now you've been found. We're going to be singing later today, Amazing Grace. And you know the key one in there, "I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." If you're one of the first three above on there, the Bible states clearly that in Luke 11:9, if you seek God, you will find him. And that's what I offer to you today. If you feel lost in any one of these areas, if you seek God, you'll find him. I remember John Oliphant, when he was one of the founding people of this church, and he said to me, "Harvey, you know, I got this picture from God." And I asked him, "God, where are you? I can't find you. I've been seeking you, and you're not around." And God gave me this picture, and he was looking like, here's God, and here I am. And all of a sudden in this picture, I kept saying, "God, where are you? I can't find you. Where have you gone? Why aren't you here? Why, where are you?" And he says, "I'm here all the time. You're just not looking for me anymore. You're not turned to me." Maybe it's a whole bunch of things that are going on in your life that you need help with. You feel lost in a sense. The Bible says that if you lose your life for his sake, you'll find it. Sounds like a contradiction. He almost is saying to you, go ahead, lose your life. You'll find it. And if you try to save on to your life, you're going to end up losing it. And he's talking about things of this world. If things of this world are so much more important to you than God, you're trying to cling on to your life. My will. I want to do it my way, says Frank Sinatra. And you know, what he's saying to you is, give up the things of the world. Give away your strong will. We are all born with the sin of selfishness. And I can remember saying to my students one time, what do you think our nature is? And they almost always would say, oh, it's good, being nice to people. And I say, no, I don't think so. And I tell them about, I'd use different words, but to you I'll say, we're sinful by nature. And my students would say, well, that can't be, not little children. And I would look at them and say, have any of you ever had children you grew up with? I said, they are the most selfish beings you could imagine. The minute you give them food, they want more. You try to go away to get some sleep, they'll cry and wake you up. They want more. They're very, very selfish. But we love them. I have my daughter here today, Jody. We love you. In spite of all those times you used to spit up and keep me awake at night. Matthew 10:39, whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Maybe you were once found, but now you've wandered away. I find that's probably the majority of people in churches today. They've been found, you know, you love Jesus, and there was probably a time in your life when you've accepted him into your life. I've heard the stories. There was one woman just the other day when I asked her, you know, we were just talking around. I said, anything I could pray for you? And she says, yes, would you pray for my son? I think he's around 40 years of age. And she says, he's wandered away. And he when he was younger, he went to a Bible camp one summer, and he was so joyful because he asked Christ into his heart. And the mother was, you could see she was starting to tear up as she was telling me the story. But then he went to college, and it was one of our local colleges at Canton ATC. And he got in with a group that, you know, laughed about God things, and then he went along with them, and pretty soon he came and told me, I don't want anything to do with God. And now he's older, and would you pray for my son? He's a prodigal son. So there are people that ask Christ to come into their heart, and they get lost. They flounder. They go away. Or I remember Billy Graham had somebody come to him and said, Billy, what's wrong in my life? I go to church. I pray regularly. I pray regularly. I read my Bible daily. But he says, I just don't feel God anymore. It's not there anymore. Can you help me? And Billy said, I don't know why I said this, but it came out of my mouth. I said, do you tithe? And he just put his head down, and he was a wealthy person, and he walked away. And that's not necessarily the thing that can be for anybody, but it was for that man. And I think we've all got our tithe problems. You know, what TV program are you watching all the time that you shouldn't be watching? And you put your head down, you may walk away. Are you lost? Are you floundering? Do you need the Lord's help? In Zechariah 1:3, it says, return to me, and I, God, will return to you. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2, now is the time of salvation. Now, if you're in the group here, sitting here, or if you're online, you know, you probably are saying, well, someday I'll get around to it. And I can tell you from experience, that won't happen. It gets put off and put off. And there have been people that I wish the Lord would put on my heart that I should say something about their salvation, and I would put it off to find out they died before I could really get back to them. And, you know, it still is with me to this day that I shouldn't have put it off. And if there's anything in any of your hearts that God has been kind of hitting at you right now, you need to take care of it. And if it's, I've wandered away, you got to come back. He says, if you return to me, I'll return to you. If you seek me, you're going to find me. And now is the time to do it, not later. What are some ways to be found? Well, my dad, when I was a young boy, he was teaching me how to hunt. And he said this one thing to me, and he made it very clear, you listen to this, son. And he had a compass in his hand. He says, don't you ever go into the woods without a compass. Well, you know, to my knowledge, to this day, I will never go out into the woods when I hunt without a compass. And if any of you have been hunters, you know what I'm talking about. If you have snow on the limbs of all the trees, you swear you're going in the right direction. You look at your compass and it says you're going the wrong way. And you think the compass is lying to you. It isn't. You got to just go with what it says, and it'll bring you out where you need to go. And in life, I find that the compass, spiritually, is your Bible. Don't ever go out into this world without a Bible. And if you got a Bible, blow the dust off of it and open it up and start reading it. Put it in your heart. Memorize it, because you're going to need it someday. There's going to come a day, rough days are probably ahead if you haven't been on the news. This winter, they say, you may have to choose between what are you going to eat, or are we going to have heat in the house? For some people, this is going to be a true fact. And it's going to be tough times. And what's going to get you through? Your compass, the Scripture, and God. As a Christian, well, let me just tell you a story first. This is a true story. I was a professor and supervising student teachers, and my student teacher had a hard time getting students to ask questions and to raise their hands and participate with what they were asking for them to answer some of their questions they were giving. So I said, I'll demonstrate for you, okay? And so I got up in front of the class. It was a third grade class. And I said, I asked questions the way I taught my student teacher to ask questions and how to get answers from them. Well, anyways, the kids were going wild with their hands were ooh, ooh, ooh. You can almost tell what grade they're in. If they're in elementary, they go ooh, ooh, ooh. In secondary education, they do this. And at college, they do this. And I found... And then I found that when I was getting all done with them, and I says, you know, you are the smartest class I think I have ever taught. And they all clap for me like this, you know. And I says, do you know the difference between smart and being wise? And they looked at me, and they nobody answered. I says, here I've been, you've been answering questions all the time for me, and you don't know the answer to that one. Well, let me give you a story. There was a farmer that hated crows because the crows ate his corn crop. And he would get up in the morning and look out, and if there were any crows, he'd grab his gun and let go. Well, one morning he gets up, he opens up the door, and there were three crows on his fence. Well, he got his gun and he took aim, and I said to these third graders, he looked and he shot one of those crows right off the fence. Now, if there were three crows to begin with and he shot one off the fence, how many crows were left? Ooh, 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 they were all saying. So I picked on one kid and he said, two. And I said, what's your name? He said, Samuel. Samuel, you are smart. That is the right answer. And everybody put their hands down. And then I said, wait a minute. Is there anybody else that had another answer? And they all looked around at me like, what are you talking about? We just gave you the answer. And there's one Asian girl, she raised her hand like this timidly. And I says, what answer do you have? And she said, none. And they all looked at her and kind of laughed a little. Why did you say none? Well, when he shoots the one off, the noise of the gun would scare the other two away. I said, you're wise. Samuel, you're smart. God wants us to be wise. You've heard the word, and now put it into action. Don't just listen to it. Be wise with it. The Bible says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Do you understand what you've heard today? If you've never had Jesus Christ come into your heart, I'm going to ask now, and I don't know, I just have a feeling, especially online, you could be in your pajamas eating at the table or whatever, but would you just take a moment now? If you've never asked Christ to come in, you've been lost, but you need to be found. Would you pray a prayer something like this? God, forgive me. I've gone astray. I'm one of those sheep that have left the flock. I'm one of those lost coins, and I need to be found. I'm that prodigal son who drifted away from my Father, the Father in heaven. And I pray that you'll find me. I'm searching for you now, and I ask that you forgive me of my sins. And I'm going to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and change me and find me. I thank you. Amen. And the scripture says, if you prayed that prayer and you've ever asked God to come into your heart, all the angels in heaven, I can't imagine what that must have been like. We have a few musicians up here playing. Can you imagine? All the angels in heaven are rejoicing over that fact. They once were lost, but now are found. And remember, if you're found, could we put that up on the end? If you're found, stay found and look for lost sheep to bring you home. And if you're lost, get found. There will be a joyful celebration. God bless you.